thing.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to My Wife, She Loves That Reprise Cast, a podcast where we're just tying up all the loose ends. I'm Ashley. I'm joined, as always, by your friend and mine, Molly.
Hey, hi, it's me, Molly. We got Luke with us.
I need to issue a correction right away.
Oh, all right. Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Last week, I said that in FF7 Rebirth, they added, like, a fun theater sequence. I forgot that was, in fact, in the original game. So I'm sorry. Don't at me about it.
Brutal for you to record this right now.
Right, the episode's not even out yet.
Yes. I thought that you were going to say that you're going to rescind the fun part.
No, I mean, that part was fun.
So, Luke, what'd you do this week, bud?
Well, I did finish Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yep.
I think that game might be bad.
Yep.
I have all the respect in the world for friend of the show Jackson, but I frequently have disagreements with them about video games. So when they said they didn't like the ending, and when I read their description of what it was like, I don't know, that sounds good. I think I might end up liking it. Couldn't have been more wrong. I just completely agreed with them. It's just not good.
Yeah, it just sounded bad. It just sounded not good.
Yeah. I liked the description of it, but the execution of it perhaps not so good.
Yeah.
And like it's the kind of bad ending where I'm like, well, now I like the rest of the game less, because this is what it was building up to.
Yeah.
I'm definitely gonna have to ask you after we're done here for you to give me
Yeah, I can give you the
Oh, it's so stupid, dude.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, everyone was very excited after Final Fantasy VII Remake. Wow, this was like a really interesting, like, wrinkle to throw in here. It's like not just a remake of the original game, but also like a meditation on the nature of remakes. I can't wait to see where they take this, and where they take it is stupid.
They took it.
They just said, hey, what if we took the parts of Kingdom Hearts that not even Kingdom Hearts fans like, and we got that in here?
Hmm.
I think I ultimately gotta give a thumbs down to FF7 Rebirth, even though I had a lot of fun for most of it.
You truly hate to see it.
Yeah. Fun combat still, other than that last boss, which can bite my ass.
Yeah, that seemed bad.
Yeah, like, go ahead.
The interstellar of Final Fantasy games.
Right. Like, it was bad enough that, like, so I it was already losing me before the final boss fight started. But then that starts, and it's a very long fight. You know, it's a classic, like, epic RPG end boss. It's, you know, multiple phases. I, like, got to the start of the fight and turned the game off because I needed to get ready for work. But then, like, I had more time than I thought I did. Like, I got, like, an hour. I can probably... I can maybe get this done.
Brave decision, honestly.
I had nothing better to do, you know. I mean, worst case scenario, you know, I'll get to the ending cutscene and just have to pause it and watch it when I get home, whatever.
Yeah.
So I played for an hour straight, got five phases into the final boss fight, and part of, like, the gimmick of that fight is that it just keeps giving you different, like, party members to use. It's like, oh, for this part... You know, you're using Cloud, Tifa, Barret. Oh, nope, this time you're using, like, Red 13, Yuffie, and Kate Sith, whatever. And at this fifth phase, it finally gave me three characters that had no healing magic on them at all. And the gimmick of the phase was that the enemy just does a shit ton of unblockable, undodgeable damage that you need to recover from quickly in order to stay in the fight. And hey, you know what? Hard to do when I don't have a healer.
See, I wouldn't do that if I was making a game.
I might do that in the first phase of the fight, so that the player can be like, oh shit, it's gonna be like that, huh? Okay, let me back out and prepare. As opposed to, you know, an hour into the fight,
when
it's like,
well, six.
I guess I have no choice but to do all of that over again. Like, I literally told Jessica, I should have just taken a nap before work. That would have been a more productive use of my time.
I think we need to take multi-stage boss fights away from people until they prove that they are responsible enough to have them back.
Yeah, there's really no reason for that fight. Like, it's not a lot of, like, the spectacle to it. Like, I've seen a lot of people that are very high on the ending of this game. Like, oh, it's so cool, you're doing all this badass. I'm like, I guess, guys, but, like, come on.
The audience is mid, Luke.
Yeah, yeah, and then...
Yeah, like, I can see the world where that seems like a cool idea of, like, oh, you're, like... Because they've done that, I've done that other RPGs and, like, other action games where you are jumping from character to character to, like...
Yeah.
Show the magnitude of this fight.
Right, I thought it was cool in this fight until they decided that, well... You should have anticipated that every single member of your party needed to have a healing item, and you didn't, so fuck you.
I hate it when video games do this.
Yeah.
Because I am the person, I'm like, this is my party.
Oh,
These are the guys I like. These are the guys I want to play with.
You definitely would not like this game at all, then? Because it loves to do the thing of, like, no, for this, for the next hour and a half of the game, or next, 3 hours of the game, this is your party, deal with it, like, learn to adapt.
Yeah, not interested. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody could do it right. I'm sure. But I've yet to encounter the time where it doesn't just piss me off. And maybe it's just me, but...
I was honestly really torn because, in theory, I like the idea. Like, no, the whole party is on the adventure. The whole party needs to be involved. Like, make you learn to adapt to weird situations. But at the same time, it's like, I have not been using Yuffie at all, guys, and now I guess I need to grind for a while at the beginning of this section so that I can, like, get through it. Okay.
No one fucking forces you to play a different fighting game character because you've been playing the one guy too long.
Right, right.
When you sign up for online, they don't just send you to a new guy because you played too much fucking Luke.
Right.
Sorry,
yeah.
That's the first guy I came up with.
No, that's fine, that's fine. Yeah, so, yeah, I had that experience, and then I was like, I could start that whole fight over, or I'm right at the end of the game anyway, I could just watch it on YouTube. And I did that, and it was just like, oh, well, I don't regret this then, if that's what I was going to get as my reward.
Imagine if you did that a second time and then got that.
I almost wonder if I'd like it more just because of sunk cost fallacy. Like, I need to like this because it took so much time to get.
Look. Luke, if you were going to have sunk cost fallacy on this, I believe you would have it after playing this game for,
right,
like, four weeks.
20 years.
Yeah, I do have, like, 70 hours on it.
Yeah.
And I skipped so much. I could probably double that time count.
If you wanted to, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know if another, like, 2 hours of a bad boss fight was going to...
Yeah. It literally, like, I was jazzed for this game after playing the first remake. After playing this one, I might just not bother with the last one.
Yeah. Seems like they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's a bummer. They need to get me in there. I'll fix it.
It really did feel like with the first one, people were being like, ooh, like, what are they going to do?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Like, I can't really guess where it's, like, going to happen, and it seems like they also could not guess what was happening.
My most cynical read on it is they picked such a small chunk of the video game,
yeah,
so they couldn't fuck it up.
Sure, for the
and
first
they almost
one, yeah.
did anyway.
Yeah, I think you could make that argument,
but that's, I don't think that's true at all. That's just the most cynical part of my brain.
Sure, but I get where you're,
like,
coming
also,
from.
Also, it's like, it's the first hour of Final Fantasy. Like, it's 2 hours in the original game that gets
you get out
up
of Midgar,
like,
pretty
40.
Quick.
You
yeah.
get out of there fast, dude.
Yeah.
I got out of Midgar.
Yeah, you. That was the biggest problem with Remake, is that you can really feel the padding in places.
Yeah. Well, they make you slow walk everywhere. I tried to play Remake. That game sucks. Sorry.
Oh, the slow walking is, like, the least of that game's problems.
I couldn't even get past that part because there was so much of it.
Like, I'm trying to, I think we talked about this last week, but have you played the original Final Fantasy, Molly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Final Fantasy 1?
No, Final Fantasy 7.
Oh, okay. I got to like, Cosmo Canyon, I think.
Right, right, right. So, like, you remember the part in 7 where, like, they drop the plate and, like, kill a bunch of people? Like, kill thousands of people?
Yeah.
In 7 Remake, like, that's starting, and they're like, oh god, they're gonna drop the plate, we gotta get there and help our friends. You're getting cutscenes of, like, the side characters fighting and losing to stop them, but you have to go through, like, 2.5 goddamn dungeons to reach them, and have all these little side quests, like, encounters with, like, ghost children that want to play with you in the train yard. It's like, guys, I do not have time for this.
I don't mean to be an asshole, but that sounds fucking terrible.
It's so bad.
Like, and you guys liked this video game.
I liked it until that part. That's when that game started to lose me.
It's rough. No, I've heard that from, like, everybody.
Yeah, then I disliked a lot of it until, like, the very ending, which, like, okay, you kind of got me back with that ending. Okay.
Yeah, they were doing weird shit, and they were like, well, what if we keep doing that and just kick the can?
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we'll talk about it more after the recording. I don't want to spoil the ending, but I think me and Iris are going to do a whole podcast on it, because we just both need to... Well, I need to complain about it to her, and she's willing to provide me that service.
That's very nice.
Yes.
Iris is such a good friend.
She's such a good friend. Shout out to Iris. What else have I done? I did start Dragon's Dogma. I haven't played it that much, mostly just because, like, I've been gunning through FF7, like, I just want to play Dragon's Dogma. I need to finish this first, though. But now I'm like, okay, but I just ran a whole marathon. I kind of got to catch my breath.
Yeah. No, don't force yourself.
Right. So I played it a little bit. I just got to, the first town where you get, like, the flashback sequence.
Yeah.
I did already get a very good, like, Dragon's Dogma-ass moment where I hired a pawn, and just while running around, she's like, oh, I was here before, and I know where a secret treasure chest is. Follow me. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, show me. And she, like, took me out to a side path, and there was, like, a little gap you had to jump across, like, with, like, water, like, 100 feet down. And you can see, like, a treasure chest on the rocks over there, and she takes the leap and then just eats shit and falls off and dies.
And then when they fall in the water, they don't come back. She's just gone forever.
Right, exactly. she didn't just fall, like, a bird enemy, like, attacked her and knocked her off.
Oh my god.
And the game, like, bugged slightly, where she's fucking dead in the water, but she's still doing her combat barks while we fight the bird.
Oh my god. That's beautiful. I love video games, man.
It's so good.
I have complicated feelings about Dragon's Dogma 2 the farther away from it I get.
Oh, really?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, but, like, every time I think about playing it, I'm like, I'd rather not.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to think, what else have I done? I watched Split by M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Pee your pants, Luke.
It's just the funniest shot of anything when Anya Taylor-Joy, like, basically grabs the camera to stare into it and says, pee yourself. And, like, it makes sense in the scene, and it's actually, like, very tense and, like, it's a moment. It's, like, an important moment. But, like, out of context, it's very funny.
I was there when we watched it.
Right, yeah.
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 Yeah, it's just... I'd forgotten that Anna Taylor-Joy was in that movie.
Yeah. I mean, she's good in it.
She's a pretty good actress.
She's a good actress, yeah. She's kind of always good in the things I've seen her in. That movie's weird.
Yeah, probably.
It's just like... What if trauma gave you superpowers? That's the thesis of Split.
I wish, brother.
Right? Yeah. It's, like, fun to watch. It's very, like, suspenseful. It's you know.
Yeah.
Just three girls that are kidnapped and trying to escape a weird murder dungeon.
Yes, I think I read the synopsis of this film once.
Right. And then, yeah, they got kidnapped by a guy with dissociative identity disorder.
Right.
And he has 23 different personalities. And
right.
Some of them are good, but some of them are evil and want to summon an even eviler 24th personality.
Hate it when that happens.
Dude. Hate it when that happens to me.
Yeah.
And then at the very end of it, it cuts to a diner where, like, there's a reporter giving, like, a news report on the whole thing. And someone's like, boy, this reminds me of that time 15 years back with that other weird guy. They called him something weird, didn't they? And it cuts to Bruce Willis from Unbreakable, who just says, they called him Mr. Glass.
God.
And he's like, I'm Mr. Unbreakable.
I'm the Unbreakable guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, me and Crystal talked about that on Don't Shoplift the Pootie from a Shyamalan.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And so now I need to watch Glass finish up the Easter L 177 trilogy.
Is it? Are you having a good time with it?
Yeah.
All right.
Like I said, there's Split's got problems. It's not, might shock you to hear, not the most sensitive film.
I can't believe it.
But, you know, it was a fun watch.
All right.
I think me and Crystal are both in agreement. Both of those movies, super well directed, very well acted, maybe not all that well written.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talked about this with Crystal, where I have, like, the utmost respect for M. Night Shyamalan as a dude who has, like, just 100% bet on himself.
Totally.
And really revitalized a career that everyone had thought was dead.
Yeah, yeah, like, he went from when his name showed up in a movie trailer, the whole theater laughed, to actually making pretty good movies.
Yeah, but just the way that he writes and handles themes does not work with the way I watch movies.
I think he is kind of a weak screenwriter and very good at, like, every other part of filmmaking. So it ends up being, like, kind of bad scripts executed, like, impeccably.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is that a lot of the times it is his own scripts nowadays.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. And that's kind of what he has become known for.
Totally. But, yeah, Crystal's also full on, like, she watched Lady in the Water and is now trying to tell me that's a good movie.
It's got the guy who jacks off with one arm. And so it's super swole.
I would say a lot of guys only jack off with one arm.
But he jacks off so much that he's, like, swole in one arm. Like,
I'm doing an experiment. I'm just working out my right arm. I want to see what happens.
You'll have one arm stronger than the other. It's not that.
That's what he's got.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I, as always with Crystal, go with God.
Go with God.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's about it for me.
Ashley.
I rewatched The Game.
The Game.
Oh, with Michael Douglas?
Yeah. I will just repeat the joke I made last time, which is some guys will partake in large game-like alternate realities rather than go to therapy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that movie a lot. It's kind of, if you, like, scratch below the surface, it starts making way no sense.
Well, sure.
But, it's fun.
Yeah, I've seen that, but not in a long time.
It's cool when, the thing I like the most about it, of course, is the thing I like the most in it, is its weaponizing of bit part character actors.
Sure.
To play those bit parts. And, like, have you go, like, wait a minute, that's...
Yeah.
That's that fucking dude. That's fun. I watched The Great Silence, which was another Western directed by the guy who made Django.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the bleakest movies I've ever seen. So, you know, good times. It is also, it takes place entirely on a snowy mountain. And so, like, half of the I have not seen this Tarantino movie, but, like, half the reviews are just like, oh, this is just the movie that Tarantino, like, copied for The Hateful Eight.
Oh, okay. That movie's not very good.
Yeah, but I thought this movie was good.
Good. I'm glad.
It doesn't have as much of the, like, they're all trapped in a house together.
Sure.
You know, this is bounty hunters fighting amongst each other still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the first time, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
At least I think for the first time. I may have, like, seen it as, like, a kid, but I don't remember it at all.
Yeah.
I've never been a Teenage Mutant person.
Right.
But it was a fun time. I liked the suits.
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell's in that movie. He's the, like, one of the little, like, thug kids.
Oh.
It's extremely weird to see, like, just like, oh, that's baby Sam Rockwell.
Me sitting here like, who the fuck is Sam Rockwell? I looked him up and I don't know.
Yeah, do you remember Justin Hammer from Iron Man 2?
Have not seen Iron
Man
2.
The best character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Have not seen the film.
He imported authentic Italian ice cream straight from California.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Where is Bird? It's, yeah, it's... He, like, I wouldn't say that he's, like, he's not a character actor. He's, like, bigger than that, but, like, smaller than, like, a movie star.
Yeah.
I mean, I recognize the name, but then I was like, I don't know who that is, though.
That's him in TMNT.
I mean, yeah, I'm looking at his, okay. Yeah, he has a baby there.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and he's already started growing the facial hair. Good for him.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've seen any of this shit that he's been in.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of it. I've seen Seven Psychopaths. That's a good movie.
Now that I'm looking at his filmography, I don't think I've seen any of these.
I'd recommend watching Seven Psychopaths.
Noted.
He's pretty good at Moon. Molly, you did see something because we watched it on this podcast. Charlie's Angels. He's the villain.
Did we watch Charlie's Angels?
That had to be before I joined.
Are you sure?
I was...
I don't think we did.
I'm so sure that we did.
Pretty sure we didn't.
I don't remember that.
And do not believe.
We absolutely
have not watched... I would remember watching Charlie's Angels. We have not watched Charlie's Angels.
It would have
maybe that was
have been during the TR era.
Yeah. Maybe that must be something that we pitched and didn't do then.
Matt LeBlanc is apparently in that movie. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm sorry. I've thrown myself off because I'm like, I'm so sure. I've also been just still playing the Fallout 76. It's one of those games that is just, like, perfect for kind of the mental state I am, where I don't want a game that is challenging or...
Right.
Yeah.
But want something that is, like, just involved enough.
Yeah.
And involved enough, like, yeah, like, that can... It can keep my interest while I'm doing other stuff.
Yeah.
I said this on Twitter, but it is so funny to me that I've not run into a single person in that game.
It really is. As intended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it's... That game might as well be single player for... Like, there's, like, events going off, and, like, oh, you can play with other players in this event. I just don't do them, and I've also... Just have never come across anyone.
Uh-huh.
It's a real wasteland, baby.
Yes. Yeah, anyway, other than that, nothing much. Molly?
I've been playing Stardew Valley, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm back in it. You know?
Uh-huh.
What else did I do? I also played a bunch of Magic the Gathering Arena. That new cowboy set they just put out's fun. Mm-hmm. Having a good time with that. Doing some drafts, you know?
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Yeah, yeehaw. And they added mounts. Which means that you could just, like, tap a guy and put him on top of the other guy.
Oh.
And the mount gets a bonus.
Great.
Yeah.
Do they have to be specific, like, mount types, or can you just, like, have a guy stand on, like, a guy's shoulders?
Mount is a creature type.
Okay.
Yeah. And they have the ability saddle. And that's how you know. It's like vehicles with crew.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. But I think that's kind of fucking it. I did a lot of cleaning over the weekend because we had an apartment inspection. So I was, you know, I was wiping off the cabinets and cleaning under the sink because it's gross. But it's not gross now, so mission accomplished. And then besides that, I have been playing Granblue and watching Northern Lion stream archives. Because that's where I am in life, you know?
Yeah, that's valid.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you ever launched Balatro?
No. I'm so scared, dude.
Why are you scared?
Okay. I know I'm just going to play a lot of it. When I do get around to it, I just know I'm going to play a lot of it. That's... I just don't know if I'm ready yet. I should play that. You're right. But I've been playing Stardew, and when I'm not playing Stardew, usually I'm doing a little Granblue stuff. So, like, I'm not, you know...
It's a good game to just kind of, like, do idly without really paying that much attention to. Like, you're doing something else, really.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, that's what I'm using Granblue for right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
So when
I
get tired of Granblue, like, I'll probably load up Balatro, but, like... No, I still haven't loaded that game up yet. Yeah. But, you know...
You know.
You know, Northern Lion guy's pretty funny. I don't know.
He's pretty funny.
He's pretty funny. That's pretty much the longest.
Funny mix of, like, he seems, like, kind of genuine and nice, but also just has a very surly disposition.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a funny combo.
It's a funny combo, and it's really funny when he talks about Costco. It's, you know, I just enjoy dudes being ridiculous about mundane things.
Right.
I guess. So, you know, he's got a lot of that.
He does.
Columbo.
We watched season 5, episode 5. Now you see him.
I sure do. There he is.
He's right there.
There he is.
I have seen people I've watched like a couple YouTube videos about Columbo or whatever. This one always comes up as like, well, obviously this is just one of like the top like three best Columbos, period. So I was very like, oh, we're at the magician one. Interesting. Okay. All right. What do we got?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I like
it.
It's pretty good. I like this one a lot.
I had a great time. I don't know. I don't know about top three.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like, listen, Robert Culp is a hard man to beat.
He is a hard man to beat. And he's got 3 episodes. So good luck with that.
Yeah. I mean, the sports one is maybe, you know, there's
the sports one's mid. You're
there's
right.
There's some vulnerability there.
But not on his part, I don't think.
No, no, he's doing a great job, but yeah.
He dresses up like an ice cream man.
Right.
That part's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked this a lot. Jack Cassidy, thank you for coming in. This was the role you were made for Columbo.
Yeah, when people talk about how much they fucking love Jack Cassidy, I think they're mostly thinking of this episode and then, like, backporting their positive feelings to the other appearances.
Yeah, because I thought, like, when I was watching the first two, I'm like... Like, he's good, but,
he's
like...
He's fine.
Nothing special happening here.
He's not standing out, really.
This one is like, oh, okay, this is the Jack Cassidy episode.
Yeah, exactly.
It's such a bummer that this is our last Jack Cassidy.
Yeah.
He dies, like, a year after this.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Okay, I didn't realize it was like that.
I'm pretty sure we brought this up on both other episodes.
Probably.
I wouldn't be surprised, because it was like a very sudden, like he dropped a cigarette while he fell asleep smoking.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Wait, so then what happened? How did he die from that?
It got lit his...
I assume he caught on fire.
It lit his like armchair in like apartment on fire.
That's horrifying. Yeah. Right, cigarettes involve fire, of course.
Why, when I type Jack Cassidy into Google, it shows up with him being credited in the film Megan?
Like the robot girl?
Yeah, like the robot girl.
Maybe there's some archival footage of Jack Cassidy in there.
There must be.
Or maybe Google is just deteriorating at an alarming rate.
Well, you know what? Now that you say that, probably. you know, this is just not the lineup of movies and shows I expected to see.
No, not at all.
No, that's fair.
are.
Oh, there's some other actor named Jack Cassidy.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, Google is bad at differentiating that it's two different people.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Jack Cassidy is the great Sartini, or Santini?
Santini, I think.
Santini, yeah. I believe.
He is a magician at, like, some fucking magician's castle-esque, you know...
Yeah, it's like a dinner club, but it also has a stage where you watch a magic show while you eat.
He apparently is, like, somewhat, like, at least country famous.
Yeah, they keep suggesting he is a big deal.
Yeah, like, he's just coming back from a big tour.
The Great Santini.
And Columbo has...
And yeah, like, Columbo mentioned, seeing him at Madison Square Garden.
But I don't know, that place is booking podcasts now.
Patooey.
But yeah, like, this whole first bit is him just setting up all of the stuff for his murder.
Yeah.
I like all, like, the, like, they do a lot of fun work with all the props in this, like, creepy kind of, like, magician's office.
Yes, yeah, totally. Yeah.
He
comes in and, like, one of just, like, his employees, like, oh, Mr. Cassidy, good to see you. Hey, what's his name? The murder victim wants to see you. Hey, that guy sure sucks. Hope you can make him disappear, huh? And my thought immediately, okay, so this is gonna be one of those, like, sympathetic villains, and, like, yeah, the murder victim sucks, but, like, still murder. Got it. That's the vibe we're playing in this time. No.
As you, like, responded, like, as I... You posted the Drew Scanlon blink gif.
The victim does suck, but, like, hard to even compete with the Great Santini in terms of sucking.
Yes, because... Is it in this first scene that we find out?
Yeah, it is. We learn it very quickly.
I wasn't 100% sure if it was a, like, longer...
Yeah, no, it's not a late reveal, because they have to tell you before they kill that guy.
Right.
The Great Santini used to be a German SS officer at a concentration camp.
They initially just say you were part of the German army, and his retort is like, I was just a child.
I was a small boy of 21.
Right. And immediately I think, like, okay, well, like, listen, if he was drafted frontline grunt, like, that sucks hard, you know, but, like, there's at least room to, like, make that a little nuanced. And then the guy immediately shoots back, well, there's no children in the death camps other than the ones walking to the gas chambers. Like, oh, okay. He's, like, evil, evil.
Yeah, he's, like, evil, evil for real.
Yeah.
Scary. Don't care for it.
Yeah, and this guy, rather than, like, you know, turn this guy into some sort of, you know, board, like, you know, the authorities, has been blackmailing him for the last... however many years.
Yeah, he gets like 50% of all of the money he makes from his magic act.
Yeah.
Which is like, they just said like he made $100,000 on the tour he just got back from.
In 1970s money.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because someone came in one time and recognized him. A survivor.
Yes. Yeah, a Holocaust survivor was like, hey, what's this fucker doing here?
I'm surprised that person wasn't just like, hey! He, like, just stood up.
Right.
But...
$100,000 is half a mil.
Yeah.
In 76 money.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. That person passed away not that long afterwards, so now it's only these two guys who know.
Yes. And the club owner victim has, like, a letter to the immigration services to turn him in, but he just kind of, like, holds it over his head.
He should have done one of those...
Also, he's a very sweaty man.
He's the sweatiest man to ever live.
The sweat stuff eventually ends up being important, but, like, he could have just been sweating.
He's just glistening.
In this... in this kind of little mini season, they're like, Columbo should do some detective stuff. They're like, Columbo should do some, you know, detective work, I think, this time.
Maybe. Just a little bit.
Yeah, like, we've talked about most of it is him, like, figuring out, like, people's psychologies. But
right.
in this one, there's definitely, a lot more of, like, all right, how would he, like, break down, like, you know, what makes logical sense with the facts that he has?
Yeah.
This guy should have set up one of those things where he's like, oh, if I don't, like, you know, give the signal to this guy, this letter goes out.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't kill me. anyway, he goes downstairs and sees his, this lounge singer macking on his daughter, who, weirdest vibes.
Real weird vibes with his daughter.
Don't know what's going on here, gang.
Yeah. I remember when I watched this, I was like, it's going to be like part of it going to be that he's not actually like they just say she's his daughter as part of the act.
Oh, sure. Right.
But no,
it is implied that like he says later that like, oh, she must, you know, have gotten it from her mother because that's who taught me.
Right.
So that she is his daughter, but
yeah,
he also likes to comment about how his daughter looks.
Yes, like, oh, my daughter's so lovely and beautiful.
Yes, weird shit.
Fucking creep.
But yeah, they. They do their big show. The lounge singer sings, and he does his magic act. And the big centerpiece of it is that he is locked in a box and submerged in water.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they do like, you know, he is going to be in there for 30 minutes, and so she does some other tricks while he's in there.
Yeah.
And in that time, he, of course, is not in that box.
No.
No, he hitmans his way out of the box into a waiter disguise and, like, merges with
this is some of the most hitman shit.
Yeah, this, you know what, you're right. Uh-huh. This is absolutely a hitman kill.
It's to the point where when we were watching it, me and Chet, I was wondering, like, is the tricks going to be, like, is the disguise part of the magic trick where, like, they're going to open the box and it's empty, but actually the waiter serving table four is the Great Santini?
That'd be pretty good, too.
But no, that's...
No.
I mean, yeah, it's, like, close to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that's the basic idea of the trick. It's just, yeah, he becomes one of the stagehands.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is extremely... The trick is impressive.
Yeah, it's cool.
Sure. Yeah. And
I'd be impressed if I saw this in real life.
I'll say, like, you know, a lot of times, like, when they do magic tricks, it's, like, in movies... it just seems like, oh, you just, like, cut the camera.
Yeah, this seems like a trick you could pull off in real life.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems like, you know, that this dude is actually doing some of these magic tricks. Jack Cassidy.
Yeah, some of them, for sure. But, yeah, like, the one where, like, he's doing the card sleight of hand, and it's clearly just, like, an actual magician sticking his hand into the frame.
Yes.
Yes.
But yeah, there's definitely some where it's like, yeah, I don't think you could really fake that. That's just Jack Cassidy doing some magic.
Yeah, which makes me, like, wonder if he had, like, some magic training as...
Could be.
That's
wouldn't surprise me,
from when
at
I,
the very least.
Yeah.
When I was studying to be an actor, it was one thing that all my teachers, like, really laid on me, which was, like, put everything in your resume... That, like, you can do, because there's going to be someone going, oh, that's great, we can use that in the movie.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And would be surprised if he was like, yep, I know some, like, magic tricks, I know, like, lassoing, I know how to be a weird bookseller. but yeah, so he does this, and yeah, hitmans his way up, picks the lock, and while picking the lock... uses a receiver that he has put into his little flower to communicate and make it look like he is talking with someone downstairs who is delivering his brandy.
Yeah.
Right. Each night while the water trick is going on, he, like, orders a shot of brandy to be delivered down to the, like, room he hangs out in during the trick. And he uses this to establish an alibi with this guy where he's on one side of the door. The guy comes down. He's like, hey, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 4. You know, if you can guess it, then, you know, I'll let you come in here and I'll give you $5. But otherwise, you get no tip.
Yeah. And
which already annoying behavior.
Yeah, extremely annoying behavior.
Not only is this guy a Nazi, he's an annoying Nazi.
He's an annoying Nazi who hates tipping.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you just made $100,000, dude.
Well, he's made $50,000.
Give this guy a fiver. Come on.
No, because he didn't even pay that guy the 50%.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry. But yeah. So he asked the guy to, like, pick up something, and it has, I knew you'd pick number 4. And the guy's like, ah,
yeah.
Beans, he got me. All right, guess I'll get tipped.
Got me.
And then he opens the door, shoots the dude, and ghosts out of there and comes...
I felt very clever for figuring out how he did that trick before they explain it.
Oh, yeah, same.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even that hard of a trick, but I felt like a very clever little special boy when I was like, aha, that is what he did.
Yeah, it's...
He's got many objects.
Yeah, It is, like, clever enough where, yeah, you can figure it out, but it's like, oh, that is, like, huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also set it up so that there's, like, some shadows moving on the wall so it looks like there's someone in there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Why didn't he set up the fucking mic before the trick started? That's what I want to know.
Because you got...
I guess you could maybe argue he doesn't want anyone finding it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also because you have to see him doing it to...
Yeah, it's... Well, they just showed... Well, like, too. I just figured they would put it at the beginning part where he's, like, pulling the bag out of the...
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Right.
Placing the gun and all that, yeah.
But I suppose doing the entire plan at once is better for, like, an audience.
And, you know, you can have it set up against, like, him putting the microphone in the, you know, the flower. And so it's like, with a gun, we pretty much know what that is.
Yeah.
Right.
With, you know, a microphone system, especially at this time, it might be a little, like, you know, good to do some cutting in between of, like, this and this.
Yeah.
I do really like the part where he's going to do the murder and you kind of see all the moving pieces happening.
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think this whole opening scene is very well done. But...
Yeah, no, I mean, this whole episode is solid.
Yeah, he gets back downstairs, and the box opens up, and it's his daughter inside. And then...
Huh?
The two assistants, who have both been wearing, like, executioner hoods, take a bow, and he takes off the hood to reveal it's him under there.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Which, even, like, the quick change on that is impressive to go from his... The waitress outfit to... That is some... And, yeah, right. He sees someone getting the news off camera because he called up there for coffee. And he sees, like, oh, like, people freak out. And he's like, I murdered.
I did a murder.
Columbo shows up, and he's looking a little different.
I murdered. Yeah, he's got a different vibe this week. What's different about him?
I got a haircut.
It's so funny that he says, I got a haircut.
He hates this fucking jacket so much.
He hates it.
This is...
And, like, I don't think they ever say it, but it's obviously, like, a gift from his wife, but God, he hates
they do.
It.
Yeah, it's a gift from his wife.
They do say that?
It was his birthday. And he's like, you know, from the wife. And if this is one of the few times that Columbo does not like his wife.
Yeah. She interfered with his jacket.
Yeah, listen,
don't fuck with the jacket.
There's some things that you just don't do.
It's his whole fucking flow.
Right.
Yeah. Columbo's got another sidekick this ep. He's had this guy before.
I recognize this guy. Yeah.
I like that this time he's like, listen, this Columbo guy, he likes everything to be, like, super precise. So, like, I'm doing everything. And then Columbo's just like, eh, don't need to talk to anyone.
Don't need to talk to anybody. Yeah, no, yeah. I already know who did it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, this guy is from the episode where, like, it's the one where Columbo falls down a hill and eats shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is the guy who just, like, is really into, like, you know, crime-solving computer technology. And, like, I've got this cool, you know, footprint kit. But Columbo, he just got old-school ingenuity.
Yeah. And now he's like, I've seen the light in the way. Now I know you can't do anything with a machine. We got to do this all ourselves.
Right, this guy's about this. I was like, you know, Lieutenant, I was totally wrong before. I trust you completely. Teach me your ways. And Columbo was like, no, I'm busy.
Well, you had your chance, kid.
And they're kind of running bit in this episode is that Columbo keeps almost but not quite on purpose leaving his jacket behind. This guy keeps like, you forgot your jacket, no, come back, get it.
My favorite version of that is when he thinks someone's stolen the police station.
Your jacket was lost and found at the police station. Oh, I just thought someone stole it. What?
from the police station? Yeah.
Indeed, Columbo's like,
Columbo, why do you have a bag of fried chicken with you at this crime scene, sir?
This is maybe my favorite Columbo thing he's done, where he just has a little brown lunch bag of loose fried chicken that he's offering to people.
Hey, what's some chicken?
Sir, a murder happened here.
It's so funny.
You're going to get grease on the guy.
No, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
I suppose he's dead, so we won't care, but...
Right.
Meanwhile, Jack Cassidy's burning the letters and all of the proof that he was a Nazi.
Yep.
Then he's like, oh, yes, I'll be right upstairs after I'm done burning all this stuff. And he lights a cigarette to try to mask the smell.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of breaking down of the crime scene and what's going on. And, you know, this guy thinks that he has this all settled. He's like, well, I know the exact, you know, like we have like a 10-minute window where he could have been murdered. And like, oh, this guy was like a co-owner of the place. And, you know, now owns 100% of the business. So, like, obviously that's a lead.
Yeah, that's
right,
motive.
Right,
And Columbo's just like, yeah, no, it's definitely not robbery. I think it's the magicians.
Yeah, no, I saw Jack when I walked in, so.
Yeah, Jack Cassidy's here. He's definitely the...
Oh, yeah. Actually, Columbo isn't doing that because he can't think of this damn jacket. I can't...
I gotta get this shit off of me. It's too tight.
Yeah, you know, in his defense, he just doesn't look like Columbo
in
that
thing. No, he doesn't. It's too fancy a jacket for him.
Which means we just get a lot of just suit jacket Columbo in this ep.
Yeah.
Right.
He's got the one suit.
I like this whole, like, him breaking down, like, how this guy could have been, you know, shot in the front but landed on this.
Right, he's perplexed. Yeah, he's perplexed because he was shot in the front but he was far away from the door.
Yeah.
Right.
And so the guy must have lockpicked him. Lockpicked the door.
Yeah, and that's kind of what turns him onto the magician. Like, well, okay, this is a big fucking lock. It's like a custom-built thing. Gee, I wonder who in the magic club could get through such a lock.
Who could it be?
Columbo interrogates Jack Cassidy and is like, listen, you're not in that fucking case during the thing. And he...
He's like, maybe I am, maybe I'm like, not. Where could
I
be?
All right, asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, great, this fucking guy.
And he's like, yeah, listen, I'll tell you when I need to tell you, but I don't need to tell you right now, so.
Right, unless you need me to produce an alibi legally, I'm not going to, like, divulge my trade secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, man. It's important. Which, I guess, fair enough, you know. He was on stage.
Sure. Yeah.
Columbo doesn't know. He just knows Jack Cassidy, but he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Right.
We get the lockpick looked at to, you know, make sure that it was picked, or the lock looked at. And the most mad scientist ass.
Yeah!
this fucking lab tech is just in a room full of beakers and Bunsen burners to figure out that a lock got
picked.
Why
did they give Columbo a Q? Why does he have American really
Q? And, like, it...
It
all
rocks.
Of the vials, like, it's all every color of the rainbow.
Well, yeah. That's because he's gay.
I want every single, like, laboratory should look like this, in my opinion. Just have a bunch of weird-ass liquids.
Yeah, 100%.
They never explain what they do. That are brightly colored. But yeah, the guy's like, oh, yeah, this gun was stolen from, like, a shipment, so there's no history of ownership on it. The lock was definitely picked. But this is, like, one of the most intense locks I've ever seen, so someone who's real good at it must have done it. And Columbo takes the lock to...
God, it's so fucking good when Columbo
so
proves it later.
One of my favorite scenes in Columbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get that car trick that... Luke was talking about earlier, where it's obviously someone else's hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job.
Cool. Yeah,
cool. Sleight
yeah.
of hand. Like, he's doing sleight of hand of the whole goddamn deck all at the same
yeah,
time.
Yeah, basically, like, fanning it out and then making it disappear, then fanning it out again.
Yeah.
Columbo's just watching him. And yeah, that's what.
Yeah, I do like when Columbo walks in the room and, like, he doesn't even notice him and he's just, like, watching the guy do magic tricks. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Columbo's hands are too small, though. Can't do magic.
Me and my tiny hands, they can't do no magic.
Same, buddy.
Seinfeld would say that Columbo has girl hands.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. So nice of you to say. Finally, someone says it.
And so, yeah, Jack Cassidy is trying to put this on Mob Connections. And he's like, well, the murder was so good.
Right, he's saying to the club owner, yeah.
That it must have been a professional.
Right.
It's the funniest thing that this is what he does every time he's on this fucking show, is he's like, I think the mob did it.
Yeah. You know what, that's true.
He's had multiple episodes where he's like, no, it's pretty obvious that he was writing a story about the mobsters, and I don't think they were happy about it.
Right, right.
He's a shady nightclub owner. He's a crazy guy with dynamite. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exception that proves the rule.
Yeah. Yeah, that one I can't speak for, but the first one and this one, definitely.
Yeah.
And yeah, Columbo's doing his usual shtick of, listen, I know that you don't want to say, but my superior, he's a real hard ass. But Columbo...
Yeah. It's been a while since he's, like, blamed his boss
yeah.
for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Columbo gets invited back later tonight. Columbo's at, a locksmith who made the original lock. And you get the weirdness of... Someone saying to Columbo, oh, you young people.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, this guy is old.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Columbo's sidekick comes in. He's like, oh, I found your raincoat, sir. And that's where he's like, oh, I thought someone stole it. He's like... Columbo looks so obviously disappointed when the guy shows up.
Yeah, because I think what he's doing here, right, is he's trying to get the, this is like a locksmith, and he wants him to rig up these cool handcuffs,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Using the same lock from the door so that he can prove that this guy can do it.
Right.
Okay, I didn't put together that it was the same kind of lock.
I didn't either, but that makes sense.
I guess that makes sense. How do you do... They're fucking handcuffs, dude, versus a door lock? What are you talking about?
This is the lock-picking lawyer. What I have for you today is interesting. Handcuffs that use a latch lock from a door.
It's really easy, though. You just gotta do this
thing. These
were used
to catch the Great Santini in 1976.
No, Nazi magician. Oh, man. Lock-picking lawyer. Events can be dangerous for me because every time I'm like, I should get into lock picking.
We've talked about this recently. Yeah.
I also love whenever I see like sometimes TikTok will like surface ads from other thing, like from like just random shit. And I got a ad for like a lock box. And the search on it was, like, that lockbox, lockpicking lawyer. but they actually show, like, the lock in the lab scene, and it's actually smaller than you would think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like, on a big slab, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so he gets it rush-ordered. And Columbo shows up and, you know, saying hi to everyone. There's an old guy there that knows Santini.
Yeah, the guy used to have, like, a high wire act at, like, a circus, and he knows Santini from those days.
Columbo complains about his table because he's in the other room.
Sir, I need you to get me in here.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, of course, Lieutenant,
and
of course.
And so he goes into the... Yeah, the guest of honor spot.
Yeah.
Which is right up front, so that when Jack Cassidy asks for a volunteer, a beautiful lady specifically.
Yeah.
Well, no, he says, can I have a volunteer? And Columbo gets up to get up there without being called on. He's like, maybe a beautiful lady, perhaps?
And Columbo just keeps coming, and he's like, I guess we have a beautiful boy. also...
Bad behavior on Columbo's
part. Listen, he knows that he has to fucking rush this dude. They're like, oh, you know, make sure, no matter what Columbo asks for, give it to him. And then he's like, I like a ginger ale.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't drink when he's on duty.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's just always on duty.
Right. He'll have a single sip of wine from Patrick McGowan. That's just because that's his husband.
Yeah. He does a couple of crowd tricks. Columbo's amused. Yeah, he comes on stage and they do like some like, oh, there's a coin behind your ear. but with cards.
Yeah.
And then Columbo announces that he like, because he had floated this earlier. That he had, like, a special trick he wanted to show the guy to see if he could do it.
Yeah, and he's like, in front of the whole club, is like, oh, I got a challenge for him. I don't know if he can do it or not. And, you know, how can he back down at this point?
There's also the part where he has, like, little things on his fingers. It's just playing with them.
He just got... That trick sucked ass. Like, imagine being in the back of the room for that one as he's just, like, making a thimble go back and forth on his fingers. Like, you can't even see what he's doing.
Yeah, and then he has ten thimbles.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Columbo calls him out in the middle, and he's like, fuck, I have to do this now.
I have to do it now.
Because if, you know, I don't, then I'm, my pride... But if I do this, I like, he has not fully gotten the...
Oh, yeah, I don't think he understands that he's walking into a trap
until Columbo basically says, got your ass.
Right, because he gets out of the handcuffs, and, like, the whole crowd's cheering, and then it just cuts to a super tight close-up of Peter Falk going, I knew you could get out of him.
And then he
winks at him!
It is the sickest shit that Peter Falk has ever done.
Yeah, I...
My God!
It's so fucking cool. Listen, you know, Some of the, you know, like the... Patrick McGoohan is not directing this episode, but Columbo still got some swag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet, Jack Cassidy's face just falls. as he realizes, like, ah, shit, I just fucking walked into that. I also find it extremely funny that he has to, like, turn his back and basically hide the handcuffs from the audience.
Right.
And he's like, all right, I just need to fucking pick this. Which is less impressive, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like getting out of handcuffs, you know, the impressive part is that the handcuffs aren't on him anymore.
Yeah.
Columbo is in the thing, like, asking if anyone could sneak through here. The guy's like, my mother could sneak through here. Oh!
My mother could come in here and kiss me on the cheek, I wouldn't notice.
Just the bear, but it's at a, like, magic castle.
Now we're talking.
Just this guy in the background be like, you motherfuckers! But yeah, he's doing the magic trick, and Columbo just heads downstairs and is like, all right, Mr. City, I know you're in here. And indeed he is, and he's like, hell yeah, you figured it out.
He's like, what's up?
Yeah. And Columbo's like, oh, thank you, sir. I know that you do want to do it, so I had to figure you out, but I promise I won't tell a soul. And I'm just really, you know, entranced. You're such a good magician.
True.
And then I'm trying to think. He kind of just hangs out with him for a while. Yeah. I don't remember what they even talk about.
You know, he's just like, oh, can, like, if I had to write down, like, you know, like, where you are, is that fine? And...
Oh, sure, right, yeah.
He's like, you know, Jack Cassidy's like, oh, you know, listen, detective, we all have our talents, and it's, you know, both of us are in some ways illusions. Being like, I know you're fucking smart, asshole.
Yeah, no, I figured it out. You're a clever little guy. You're not gonna fool me.
Yeah, and past this point, he is pretty short with Columbo.
Yeah.
Yes. And so he walks out with the hood on, and as he's walking out, the daughter is walking in to switch spots. He also pulls a Columbo out of he also pulls a napkin out of Columbo's. I have it paused, and so it just has Columbo, like, emblazoned across the screen. he pulls a nap.
Yeah, he just pulls, like, one of those, like, yeah, magician handkerchiefs that are bunch tied together out of, like, Columbo's breast pocket.
He very obviously plants it before pulling it out.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, not the best sleight of hand we've seen on this.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
But yeah, he mentions...
Good enough for 70s television.
He mentions, like, oh, you know, have some of my brandy. And, like, yeah, I have brandy delivered here every single night, so, you know, go find that guy. And Columbo...
Right, this is him kind of just, like, subtly, like, he's trying to be clever about it because he's not saying, well, I have an alibi, it's this. He just kind of, like, puts it out there for Columbo to piece together.
Yeah.
That obviously there's a witness to the fact that I couldn't have done it.
And so, yeah, Columbo goes up, finds that dude, and he's like, yeah, listen, I, you know, I know his voice. He's like, wait a minute, his voice?
Yeah.
That means you didn't see him. Which is a real Phoenix, well, right?
He's like, well, no, yeah. But I, you know, I saw shadows.
Yeah, I saw shadows moving around, and I, like, had a conversation with him, and he was gonna let me walk in there if I guessed the wrong number. He couldn't, if he wasn't actually there, surely he couldn't have risked that.
Yeah. Listen, I saw shadows on the cave wall, and it was obviously him.
Yeah.
And yeah, Columbo is immediately like, all right, he wasn't in that fucking room.
He wasn't in that fucking room. Obviously.
And obviously, this guy, you know, is a magician. He just didn't fucking play this fair.
Right. Yep. Yeah, because, like, the... I like how credulous the, like, sidekick guy is, because at first he's like, well, how could the great Santini have done it? He was in the box. When, like, Columbo from Square One is like, well, obviously he's not in the box. That doesn't make sense. Yeah. And now that they've proven he wasn't, he's like, well, how could the great Santini have done it? He was in the basement.
Because he wasn't in the fucking basement.
And Cole's like, okay. Okay, let me walk you through this.
Listen, kid. I've seen this murder done 400 times. It's a very common murder.
Yes.
But yeah, this is where Columbo shows how he could do the trick with the number guessing, which is just that obviously, well, you know, he told the guy, pick up the skull and look under it, and it'll say, like, I knew you were thinking of four. But he just had four objects, each with a different number written on them.
We're still a bit away from that.
Columbo goes, are we? Okay, sorry, I'm not actually watching it, I'm just going
from
memory.
Columbo goes to the magic shop first.
Right,
oh, gets the absolute, just all the shit scared right out of him.
This is one of the better Columbo just goes to a shop and, like, the guy tries to sell him a thing before realizing he's a cop.
Yes.
And this guy's so weird, too.
He's such a little
weird. The type of guy who would run a magic shop in the 70s. And he's like, Lieutenant Columbo. Or he's like, I'm Columbo. And he's like, ah, the great Columbo.
Right.
Also very, it's something that comes up later, but apparently Columbo's first note was not Italian.
Yeah! I was going to bring that up when we got to it. The first thing he wrote down about the great Santini is he's not fucking Italian.
Extremely <It's> good. So good.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It is. But yeah, they do like the classic, like, oh, put your hand in this guillotine. And Columbo, is, like, extremely nervous. He's like, oh, don't ever do that to me again. Oh, my heart. the trick costs $90.
Yeah.
And so he...
Which means it's, like, $600.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, Columbo reveals he's a cop, and he's like, listen, I was in San Marino that one night. I have an alibi.
Right. I'm not suspecting you, sir.
And so he's like, if someone wanted to, you know, he tries, like, is there a magic trick like this? And the guy's like, well, that just seems like radio.
Yeah, this seems like
radio, man.
Yeah, like, not like really a magic, like, I guess you could use it in a magic trick, but yeah, that's just like walkie-talkies.
No, we use that for fake psychic acts.
Yeah. And he does make, you know, there's a broad in the audience, like, that has a microphone.
Right.
And so, yeah, Columbo talks to him, gets all that stuff. And then Columbo meets the high wire guy.
Who's frankly, you know what? This apartment's small and kind of, like, dirty, but he's also paying, like, $50 a month for it. And even adjusted for inflation, doesn't seem like the worst deal.
Yeah.
No, could be way worse.
I
feel like I've seen higher rents for shittier apartments in, like, the modern day.
Yes. But yeah, no, yeah, that he seems like he's okay with it, too.
Yeah, if even Columbo's like, I mean, not bad, all things considered.
What he gets from this is that that when this guy first met the great Santini, he had a German accent, and then a European accent, and then American accent.
Yes.
An accent you could cut off with an axe, which is a good...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even really know what that means, but it's a good line.
You know what it means. Columbo walks out of this guy's apartment without closing the door.
The guy had the door open at first. He was just hanging out with his door open like it's a dorm room.
I guess it's different times.
He's just chilling and vibing, dude. He's just in his bed. He's looking at the door.
Yeah. I know that it's obviously like for a circus, but we don't see the rest of it, so it's great that this guy just has like a poster of a tiger on his bed.
Right.
Got it from Zoo Books.
Hell yeah. That's right, he did.
The Tiger poster. 12 issues. Columbo harasses Jack Cassidy at a dinner where he's trying to recruit another girl because he hates his daughter.
Right, because his daughter has the audacity to, like, be in a relationship with somebody. Again, weird vibes.
He's like, I think he's specific. Maybe not. I don't know. I think he's specifically upset about this lounge singer guy specifically, but you might be right. He might just be a creep.
I mean, I think he can be both.
I think both, probably. Yeah, you might be right.
Like, I suspect that he would have a problem with any guy she dated specifically.
Yeah. And not in, like, a I'm just an overprotective father way.
I don't know about
right,
all that.
Like, you could charitably read it that way, but, you know, given that he's a Nazi, I'm not going to be charitable
you know,
about
I,
anything
I guess,
he
you know,
says
that is
or does.
True. He's a fucking Nazi. I don't know what I'm doing.
you do not, in fact, have to give it to, hand it to them.
I don't.
Like, also, just, like, her being, like, she has a distinct lack of taste. And so, Columbo shows up with dog.
Yes, we get one quick dog scene. I like when he leaves his jacket in the car on purpose and he tells dog, you know, now if someone comes and takes this, you just look the other way.
God. Well, first he goes to get it. He's like, listen, if you you stay right here or I'll revoke your driving privileges. He takes it and then, like, walks three steps and then puts it back. And then he's like, yeah, listen, if anyone steals this, just don't stop him.
Let him.
Yeah, it's not a long dog scene, but I feel like, you know, in a lot of dog scenes, he's kind of, like, put upon by dog. He's like, oh, this fucking dog, ugh. He loves this dog so much.
This dog, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, it's part of the way that he interacts with dog. Like, that's their relationship, is he's like, oh, if you keep doing this, I won't give you more ice cream. Let's get some ice cream.
That's true. I forgot about the ice cream. It is such, like, the dad says we can't get a puppy, but then he takes care of it all the time and, like, doesn't let anyone spend time with it.
Like, the second Columbo walks in, Jack Cassidy's like, oh, motherfucker. And, yeah, the person's like, oh, maybe you can make him disappear. And he's like, no, I fucking tried that.
Right?
That making some guy disappear has been my whole fucking problem, man.
Columbo asks for a light, and the waiter just holds up a lighter in front of his face.
Yeah.
But he's just here to be like, hey, I know that you're, you know, not the great Santini, you're not Italian. And that when, I talked to this guy, and he said he had a different accent. Jack Cassidy goes through all of the accents that, I do, basically.
Right.
The accents white people could do.
Yeah.
Where he's like a Cockney guy, a German guy, then like vaguely Russian, or as it says on the subtitles, imitates foreign accents.
Yes.
And yeah, that's basically, it's just him and Columbo, and Columbo's like, eh, I'm getting close on this.
Right.
And Jack Cassidy's like, yeah, listen, if you come at me again, motherfucker, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, Jack Cassidy's at the losing his patience part of the Columbo episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is how you know it's almost over.
Yes.
Because, he was trying to, you know, track down the name he used before the Great Santini. And it was like, oh, something ton, like, you know, Dislington or... And it's apparently...
Actually, it was Washington.
Martha. And Columbo goes like, oh, this guy. Yeah, Columbo's in his office smoking. The guy comes up and he's like, listen, I think I've got it.
This shit is so good, dude.
And he's like, it's the guy who brought him coffee. Like, it makes total sense. Like, he opened the door for him, he walked away, the guy, like, he heard a noise, turned around, and the guy shot him. And Columbo's like, oh, that's good. It's the magician.
Yeah, so he's finally just like, no, listen, stupid.
That's really good. The magician did it. He's like, wait, what? The who?
The Great Santini?
But he was going to hand Thackeray $5.
Right, and this is where he shows how he did that trick.
Which he paid a cool $14 for.
He paid so much money for it.
He paid so much money for a label. It's a label maker, Columbo.
No, he paid.
Oh, that's, you know what? I guess I didn't think about maybe the label maker came with the trick. I thought it was just a piece of paper that said how to do
it. I am guessing it is that.
I assume it's that, but just buy a label maker.
Right.
Columbo couldn't figure it out. You know, not surprising. As someone who has researched, like, looking into, like, getting magic tricks.
Sure, of course.
This is kind of how a lot of them still work nowadays.
Yeah.
Where they, like, you pay for the trick that someone else has come up with, and it's like, here's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
And yeah, but it, like you said, Luke, it's, he has just four objects that the guy could pick up, and he'll just say whichever one the number, your response to.
Right. The kind of thing, it seems like impossibly clever at first, then you think about it for 2 seconds, like, oh, no, it's really stupid, yeah. Actually.
Columbo gets reminded about his, raincoat, or his new coat, and then he, as he's walking by, he sees a guy with some sweat on his back.
Yes. There's a sweaty cop, which makes him think of the sweaty victim.
This is, it's a weird shot on this that I like. Like, it's, we're, like, looking down into, like, Columbo's cubicle, and it, like, the camera pans, and we're just, like, looking over all, like, the files.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, in one shot, he comes back, sees it, and, like, they have that whole conversation. And I just think there's some cool shots to this.
Yeah.
But yeah, he realizes that it was a leather chair, like, with a half back.
Yeah.
Right, they figure out that he was sitting at his desk, and what could he have been doing at his desk? He had his reading glasses out, but there's nothing around that he could have been reading.
This shit kicks ass, dude.
Yeah, this is, like, another just...
This is the most, like, detective work shit that Columbo has ever done.
Yeah, because he's just, like, eliminating how many, like, chairs that the guy could be sitting in. Jack Cassie shows up, he's like, Columbo, you need to get out of here. You're making people, you know, worry.
You're making everybody nervous by investigating the crime that you're here to investigate.
Like, listen, sometimes, like, when people say this, I get what they're where they're coming from. Even if they...
No, this is a full-on giving the game away thing.
Because, like, they're in the crime scene. This is, like, obviously where they would be.
This is where they're supposed to be.
Like, if...
Oh, this scene is... The button on this is so good, though, when Jack Cassidy's just like, well, do you have any suspects yet? He's like, as a matter of fact, we do. Well, what's going on then? Well, we don't have enough to get you for it yet.
Like, we don't have a motive for you.
And Jack Cassidy just goes... He just goes, oh.
Columbo's so good in this. Peter Falk's so good.
Yeah, no, this episode rocks.
But Columbo, this guy also, the Columbo sidekick, explaining the magic trick to him. And, like, he's, like, so, like, fucking, like, it was amazing. like a child. And Peter Falk and...
Go ahead and tell him the magic trick I did for you earlier, as he just explains indirectly how this guy did his magic trick.
Columbo and Jack, you know, Jack Cassidy both know that what that is. And he's, they're just, like, Columbo's fucking chuffed about it. And Greg Santini's like, oh, you motherfucker. and so, yeah, the last kind of bit here is that this guy had a kind of new typewriter that has the little ball with all the number, the stuff on it.
Yeah.
Which includes a new type of ribbon.
Yeah.
That imprints the letters.
This is a... Yeah, no, you guys, this is the good shit right here. This is what I'm looking for when I'm watching Columbo.
See, that's interesting, because I do really like this episode. This felt a little bit like, well, I guess the answer just falls in their lap. Okay.
No, it's cool. I also just like typewriters, so like the, you know.
Okay, well there you go then. then of course, this is for you.
But also, it's cool that they have that little fucking cartridge that just has the letter in it. It's sick.
Sure.
Because he was writing it.
I like that it's because of the sidekick who does it, and it's like new technology thing.
Yeah, that part of it That's true. Like that this guy gets to be useful. That part's good.
Yeah, but also doesn't realize that he's being useful. right. And then the scene where they get the great Santini is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the gotcha rocks. It's so good.
Because he is going up to the office and he hears Columbo and, the now owner of the bar talking about this. And like, oh, I know exactly what did this and I can prove it. You know, that the great Santini was really Stefan, Monroe, the German SS agent.
Yeah.
And Jack Cassie does one of the, or Stephen Mueller, yeah, and Jack Cassie does one of the smartest things in Columbo, which is, I gotta get out of here.
He's like, you know what? Game's up. I gotta go.
Yeah, I think what I'll do is I'll just fucking leave.
You can just walk out.
I disappeared before. I will do it again.
Time to hit the bricks.
But no, there's cops at every exit.
Right, and Columbo's waiting for him, because actually he was doing the radio trick.
Yep. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, and like just the moment where he is fooled by his own trick. He's like, I just saw you. Yep. I just heard you upstairs. He's like, yeah, you heard me. I was never up there.
Oh. And the thing I think is probably, like, the clip I have seen, like, quoted in a bunch of places is when Santini's just like, well, I thought I'd planned the perfect murder, and Columbo's the perfect murder.
Oh,
no, sir, there's no such thing.
It's just an illusion.
That's just an illusion.
They're not tricks, Michael.
Yeah, this episode whiffs.
Yeah, this episode
like,
kicks
I'm talking myself up more. Like, I liked it, but the more we talk about it, the more like, no, this is an all-timer.
Yeah, it's good.
It's just a fun time. It's just a good villain, a good mystery. And, you know, great scenes like the Columbo, you know, staples of him going to shops and figuring stuff out. Also, I love Columbo producing the various letters.
Oh, when he pulls out 400 copies of the letter out of his coat.
Oh, right, he, like, gives him the letter proving it, and Santini just bursts it into fire with a magician trick. He's like, well, so much for that. And Columbo just whips another one out.
He's like,
oh, you thought I was done.
And he just pulls out a pocket, and Columbo goes, you better have looked, because that was my best trick yet.
It's just making it rain letters on him.
Because everyone in the room has a fucking copy of the letter. Oh, it's so good, dude.
Yeah, that's great.
And yeah, he pulls out the tape to like say, like, listen, we got this right from the typewriter.
I like that Wilson also gets to pull out a letter.
Yes.
They give him a little, you know.
Yeah.
He's involved. He's allowed.
Yeah. I assume that the thing that Wilson types was like the things that they like taught in typing school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I assume. Because like, he makes a show of, like, typing with his eyes closed, and he types some, like, it sounds like the beginning of, like, a fucking political president's speech or something. Yeah.
It could also be, like, you know, the quick lazy, or, you know, the quick red fox jumped
brown
over
fox the, jumped over the lazy dog.
Yeah, brown fox, yeah.
Yeah.
And it, closes on just the shot of the great Santini. But the thing is where it opened, too.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I just think, good app.
Good app.
Yep, no, app's really good. I liked it, and talking it through has made me like it even more.
You guys want some questions?
Yeah.
Sure.
From at My Close Rabbit, what would Columbo's resonant and dissonant cards be?
Resonant the Hierophant, right?
Yeah, you discover something.
You discover something. Yeah. Dissonance.
Yeah, I'm just giving this one over to you guys.
Yeah. The chariot, maybe? He's not a big, you know.
The chariot.
He's not a barrier smashing kind of guy. No. He's like water. He flows into the cracks. He doesn't break down the
wall. That's so true.
From at October Violets, have any of you learned and performed a magic trick?
When I was a kid,
I don't think so, actually.
Yeah, I really liked magic when I was a kid.
I definitely bought some of those, like, plastic and, like, felt balls magic trick kits where I would, like, put on little shows for my parents.
Yeah.
I am akin to Columbo in that I'm kind of too clumsy to get away with doing magic.
I mean, I probably was too, but my parents were very nice. And, like, good job.
Sure.
And also from the City Dreamer, have you ever seen a magic show?
No, I have not.
I have, and yeah.
When I was a kid,
yeah,
you know.
I don't think I've seen one in my adult years, but I've been in enough places that I would not be surprised.
I remember being very young, like maybe like 5, and being at a magic show and being just the worst child because I kept shouting out what the trick obviously was, except, hey, already bad. But then on top of that, what I was saying made no goddamn sense. Like, how did this thing get from one end of the stage to the other? Well, obviously you have a pneumatic tube running under the stage to suck it over, mm-hmm. like at the bank.
Slurped it up.
And like not, oh, there's two balls.
Right, no, yeah, that was beyond me.
Yeah, you were obviously like, oh, it must be something like really impressive and like technical.
Right.
And not just
like it must be something very impressive and technical, and also I think the point of a magic show is to be like very adversarial with the magician. this isn't like a piece of entertainment. This is a battle of wits that I have to win.
You were my cousin Vinnying it.
Totally, yes, except Vinny guessed the tricks right.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I watch a lot of that. It like is a YouTube hole I'll sometimes go down that Fool Us. That's good stuff. As a kid, one of my grandparents lived in this like apartment building with like a bunch of other people. Like right downstairs from them was a guy who used to be a magician, but was retired.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And, you know, it like the apartment building is mostly people who have been retired, you know, like much older. And so like having a kid around was pretty rare. And so every time he would like invite me around and just do magic, like close up magic for me.
Aww.
Which was pretty fucking cool.
Like,
yeah.
That was very cool for you. And probably fun for him that he gets to, like, perform for a kid.
Yeah. It's a sweet thing that I think about a lot of.
Yeah.
My favorite one of that was he did the, like, oh, is this your card thing? And the classic kind of twist on it where he just keeps on pulling out the wrong card. All right, I gotta get out the instruction booklet. I'm sorry. You know, I haven't done this in a while. Let me get this. And he pulls out the instruction thing and he unfolds it and it's just a giant printout of the card.
Right.
Oh my
god. Right.
And like, as a kid, I was like,
Right.
I watch also a lot of Darren Brown.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of Darren Brown. I think we've talked about Darren Brown on this show.
The chess thing to him, about him, to you.
Yeah.
That's a Luke thing to me.
Oh, yeah, I love the chess bit.
Tiarsa Queenly says that it's not really a question, but now I'm just imagining Columbo showing up halfway through the prestige. Which is just a funny thing to think about.
Right.
And then from Alurkin Quinn, if any other character from a previous episode could be a reoccurring character, which one would it be?
Oh, man.
Reoccurring character. I mean, I miss his chili restaurant guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if we need, like, you know, we've talked about, like, you know, there are, like, the set pieces of a Columbo episode. I don't know if they need a, you know, something more, like, stringent than that, but I would, like, just, like, twice a season or so, there's, like, a scene where he, like, goes to the chili shop and talks out the case with the guy.
Right.
Yeah, be cool.
Please.
And like, ah, sorry, Lieutenant, I'm out of ketchup. Out of ketchup? My God, that's how we did it!
He plays a pool.
Right.
Then also from them, alternative, what would happen if they put all the murderers Jack Cassidy played in the same jail cell?
They would. One of them, or no, excuse me, two of them would be dead within an hour.
I mean, Santini is killing them. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the book guys could get along.
Right. They got common ground to talk about. You know what? That should. They might both gang up on Santini because he's a fucking Nazi.
I think they're murdering Santini.
Those two might murder Santini and then write a book together.
I don't know if they'd find out he's a Nazi. If they find out he's a Nazi, I think they're killing him. If they don't, then I think Santini's killing both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's the... You know what? Now we've really set up a fun thriller.
Yes. All right, that's it for questions.
All right. Luke, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at SSJ Speed Racer. You can find other shows that I do on AudioEntropy.com, primarily Eidolon Playtest. It is an actual play, an award-winning actual That's play right. RPG podcast. I GM two different campaigns, Eidolon Disco, Eidolon Ska. It's heating up over there. People, listen.
Things happening.
I know I am always telling people to listen to Eidolon. This is a really good time
this
to be catching
be a really
up on
good
Eidolon.
Time to catch up. Yeah.
There's some shit coming down the pipe that I really would like people to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Great, Ashley.
You can find me at @yourlibrarian_Twitter and a dash on Tumblr. You can also find me at patreon.com/AshleyLeeMinor.
Give Ashley fucking money.
Give Ashley your fucking money.
Molly.
You can find me at your friend Molly the YER on Twitter and co-hosts. You can find me at thesecondbestgame.club, ineedmail.com, ideoentropy.com. I did those in the wrong order. But you can find me in those places. You can go to audioentropy.com, hit the donate button in the upper right hand corner, give us a little money for hosting for the website. Appreciate if you could do that. You can also leave us a review places. I was on, when you hear this episode, I was on a VoIP Life, that Em and Jackson on Abnormal Mapping, that's their $10 podcast. I was just chilling out, just hanging out. It was a good time. So, if you're listening to them anyway, I'm over there doing stuff. And I think that's pretty much everything. Ashley, if you want to get us out of here.
Until next time. One more thing.
What?
Was this your card?
Oh, wait, no. I thought it was for a second, but it's not.
Wait, did I even set this up? I'm sorry, we need to do this again. I thought...
Hello, everyone, and welcome to...
Yeah, we gotta retake the whole podcast. Sorry, everyone.
Yep.